Looking on the Bright Side.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Yeah, I guess you could find a budding flower in the nastiest of landfills. And today we have yet another on the one hand and on the other hand, economic scenarios. In a few hours, we're going to get government figures on new home sales. They're expected to be up in June by a respectable number. But as for the banks, well, they're not lending as much as they used to, and that's delaying any broad recovery in the economy. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
First, the bad news. Wall Street Journal analysis shows total lending by the country's biggest banks fell nearly 3% in the second quarter. That's despite billions in government bailout money to stabilize banks' balance sheets and encourage them to lend. What's more, a lot of those loans turn out to be mortgage refinancings, a kind of rejiggering of existing loans. That means not a lot of new money being pumped into the economy. Only about a quarter of mortgages are actually for new home purchases. So another number this morning might seem a bit of a contradiction. It's that new home sales probably rose around 3% in June. Turns out even with bank lending down, home prices have fallen so much that sales are finally picking up. And that signals the housing crisis, at least, may finally be abating. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We saw gains for the S&P and Dow last week. For the week, both up about 4%. The Nasdaq gave back a little bit on Friday. We got word from Aetna this morning that profits there fell by 28%. It blames higher medical expenses in its commercial business. Telecom Verizon releases earnings today as well, and Sprint and Qwest on Wednesday. Asian shares closed higher today, and European markets are slightly higher right now as well. Former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick is a free man. Sorta. Free as in out of prison, and free to leave his home now after being locked up for helping to operate a dog fighting ring. But Vic has been an expensive athlete, and now some NFL teams think he's an expensive risk to give him a second chance. Rico Galliano reports.
This week, the NFL is expected to let Michael Vick return to the league once he serves a four-game suspension. But will any team want to hire a guy convicted of running a venture that involved dog killing? Kenneth Shropshire, a professor of sports business at the Wharton School, says possibly.
If he does play and he leads your team to great victories, it could be a compelling story of a great comeback. The negative is that protests could mount if he has not taken enough positive PR steps.
For example, animal charity work. But Shropshire says in sports, the best PR is winning. Just look at baseball players embroiled in steroid controversies.
The allegations against Mark McGwire, for example, came after his career was over, so there was not a chance to come back. Whereas you see other players that go back and have some success, that seems to help fans get beyond whatever's taken place.
Which is why if the NFL doesn't hire Vic, he'd be wise to sign with the UFL. The commissioner of that fledgling football league has strongly suggested he'd welcome Vic. Of course, with just four teams thus far, the UFL has a lot less to lose. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Leave it to the king of PCs to leave his perch inside social networking royalty. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates told a New Delhi business forum that he's left Facebook after more than 10,000 people tried to friend him. A few years back, Microsoft paid $240 million for a chunk of that website. Gates said he got confused about those he knew and didn't know, and it was becoming too much trouble. No word on whether he found a BFF, became a fan of God, or had to get rid of all those wacky pictures of him back in the day.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
There's a two-day meeting between U.S. and Chinese officials that kicks off today in Washington, what officials are calling a strategic and economic dialogue. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will be there, as will Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. President Obama, too. There's just something about the relationship between the United States and China, how we deal with one another, and how the Chinese deal with our treasury. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now to talk about it. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So what's up with this relationship? Who needs whom more?
Well, they both need each other a lot, and that's a big change over a few years ago because the United States used to be the global hegemon financially, to use a fancy word, and now it isn't.
China says in this dialogue that's happening this week that it would like both countries to unwind stimulus policies implemented to boost each economy. What's it mean by that?
The Chinese, as we know, the big buyers and holders of treasury securities, and you don't have to be a genius to see that the United States is in a situation where the value of these securities to China is going to decline. So if I were the Chinese and I cared about my investment, I'd want the United States government to stimulate a little less, save a little more, and preserve the value of the dollar.
So what would happen if China stopped buying them?
Well, I mean, it would be horrendous, but that's not how it would happen. It's not as if one day China would just say, we're not buying this anymore, because the people who run the Chinese central bank aren't stupid. And to say that would send the price of the dollar and the price of treasury securities plummeting, and they would hurt themselves. They would just do it gradually, which is what they're doing, asserting their equality with the United States, which is what they've been doing for months. And just go on. I mean, life is not television. There are not dramatic events. You just wake up one day and the financial markets and stuff has happened.
So where does this relationship go then, Alan?
Well, the Chinese theoretically need us as an outlet for their goods. We need them because someone's going to buy all these treasury securities. But when it ceases to be mutually beneficial, something bad is going to happen. And the Chinese are, you know, flexing their muscles, which is probably what I would do if I were Chinese. And it's going to go where it's going to go. But the United States has lost a lot of its freedom of maneuver, which is a point we've made here for a long time. And this is just another example of it.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.